Introducing Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclico's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclico Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Welcome back to the show and Happy New Year, Mark.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you too, Jim. Appreciate being on the show. I just want to make that the disclosure that I'm not a financial advisor, nor do I provide financial advice, but we've been writing our newsletter since 1979.
Wow, almost as long as I've been in radio and TV. Mark, do we have a special offer for our listeners to kick off the new year?
Right. We'll use the one from last year for now for those who are interested. We have a lot of interesting things coming up this year. And you get 50% off, and the promo code when you go to VRTrader.com is 2022 half off. We're going to have to change that to 2023 in the next couple weeks if I get my programmers to do it, but I think it still works. So you go to VRTrader.com and insert that promo code, and any newsletter for any expiration you choose, you get half off.
Now, we talked about this as we closed off the old year, about the January barometer. Can you explain what it is, and has January been around long enough to have an actual barometer on what the stock markets might do?
Right, that's a good point. I mean, basically, I've been writing about it because of my I call him my friend. I guess he's my old friend. He's in his late 90s now. E.L. Hirsch, back in the 1970s, created it, and he actually put me in the forward of, I guess, an acknowledgement in his 1987 book, where he called me one of the new prognosticators. So I became a little biased to E.L. Hirsch, but I admired his work, and it was actually, the book is called Stock Trader's Almanac, like the Farmer's Almanac, and he created it then, and he had this interesting, among many, insights. The first 5 days of the year could be an early warning as compared to close of December, and the whole month comparison to the end of December would be a warning for the market being up or down for the year. It's sort of an arcane indicator. My concern is everybody's talking about it now. I mean, it's been around for decades. When I first started writing about it, it was after Yale had created it in the 15 or so years after that forward, and nobody really paid much attention to it, like the Super Bowl indicator or the hemline indicator, you know, and all these other arcane indicators that are out there, and so some have correlation, some don't. The first 5 days is supposedly early warning, you know, you still have a couple more days on that one, and then you have to wait to the end of January, and then, you know, it's like anything else, you know, it's, you know, you can compare it to the weatherman forecast, you know, you can hang it on the wall, but you want to look out the window first, meaning, yeah, you know, a lot of things can change. I mean, technical indicators, sudden news story, like a COVID event that we had in 2020, a war, asteroid strike, volcano eruptions, you know, anything could happen. Suddenly, Federal Reserve gets dissolved overnight and the rates come down unexpectedly. I mean, you know, you could just, you know, talk about outlier events. Anything could happen. So what you want to do is, that could be a guideline, I suppose, and then you want to see what the charts are saying and, you know, what's happening in the real world. But for the most part, right now, it's sort of leaning a little bit negative. We'll see what it does tomorrow and Monday. And then, you know, if it's bullish for the first 5 days, that'll encourage the bulls a little bit. And whether it's meaningful, we really won't know. But, you know, my overall feeling, I think, is still the same, Jim. You know, regardless of that, I mean, you know, it's very clear the Fed's raising rates. They don't talk about doing anything to the downside in rates until 2024, from what I read. You're going to see Fed fund rates around 5.5%. So as I mentioned in a previous broadcast, why don't you just go buy yourself a treasury bill, you know, at zero risk, and, you know, forget the stock market for 2023, unless you're a trader like me, in which case there's a lot of things you can look at, like the gold market, which is getting exciting on a trading basis. You know, we're starting to see a little action in some Chinese stocks, and real estate looks like it might be under pressure, so maybe you want to short some or take a position in some inverse ETF for real estate as a trade during this time frame, or maybe you just you could short the market, just buy an inverse ETF, and you know, come back next year, and theoretically you should be at least for part of the year be ahead a bit. So that's the other strategy, or I guess even the fourth one. You know, you just sit in cash and you just ride out the year until it's clear that the market's bottom. But there's, you know, there's always trades out there. There's always stuff popping up and down. You know, crude oil, natural gas, everything has its trades, along with the some of the agricultural commodities. So there's always something to, you know, keep us busy here. And, you know, I'm not looking to stick my money in treasury bills or just short the market and go play golf for the next 12 months or go play tennis or hike or swim or whatever you like to do. I like to be more active than that. But, you know, I think you have to assume the bear market is still here and it's still got a ways to go, unless something absolutely dramatic changes. And I guess we can't exclude that, you know, with the world we're in, you know, with the viruses 1 week and then war the next. And then, you know, who knows, right now in the U.S. Congress, they can't even name a speaker to the House. You know, it's not unprecedented, but, you know, that's an unusual event. Seems like the Republicans can't get their act together, but the Democrats are unified. So, you know, it's just it's like every day is like a surprise. You know, what's new today? You know, what's surprising? You know, suddenly we're finding out about all the corruption in the government as related to the media and, Elon Musk's involvement in that. And it's just funny, you know, fun news stories, every day. So anyway, I've been long-winded here, but I think right now everybody's looking at the January indicator as some type of sense of what 2023 is going to be.
Mm-hmm. Now, what do you think is going to happen with natural gas? Parts of Europe are having a record heat wave, 75 degrees, 25 Celsius in France and Spain, when they were really scared with cut back or completely cut off Russian natural gas supplies would be a horror story. What's going on with natural gas because of that?
Well, I guess that the natural gas traders must have anticipated warmer weather, because it's been in a downtrend here, and natural gas, you know, topped out back in August, actually, the third week of August, and it's been trending down, even though predictions were for a cold winter and need for natural gas. So look, we're really oversold to me down here. You know, it's all the way back to where it was back in, it looks like December of 2021, you know, so it's a little overdone. It's probably a buy down here, but I'm, you know, and I do like it from a, you know, from an energy point of view, just like I like crude oil on a bigger picture basis because of our need for it. But, the weather is dictating the short-term decline, and if it's going to stay warm in Europe, you're not going to get any big rallies in natural gas here short-term, that's for sure. But it is oversold on the charts, so if weather changes next week, it might be a trade.
Does crude depend on China's economy turning around?
I would think that has something to do with it, sure. You know, it's a whole, it's not only China, most of the world is dependent on energy and you know, natural gas, I guess, excluded right now for the weather reasons. But, you know, crude oil is, to me, very attractive and has corrected. And I think it's been honestly manipulated lower because, you know, Biden wanted to buy crude oil cheap. And there is the futures market out there, just as gold has been manipulated. It's really the manipulation and selling of contracts. You can suppress prices temporarily, or you can push them higher. So I think the decline has been sort of politically motivated, and I think crude oil is, looks good to me. I like it.
Why do you think there's this political attack from the eco-terrorists on farmers in Holland, in Canada, the U.S.? Oh, you're using too much nitrogen. Well, what do you have against eating?
You know, if I really had an answer for you other than, you know, delving into some serious, you know, conspiracy theories about how we want to starve people around the world so we can somehow control them. You can use that same argument for the COVID virus, that it was created for a purpose to control populations and so forth. I mean, that's the only way where you can go with this. Why would governments restrict the use of nitrogen and fertilizers to the detriment of their populace? And I have really no answer for you. It's just insanity on the part of government that we've seen, unfortunately, go wild here on all different fronts now for quite some time. So why you would restrict energy production or any production of any kind. If anything else, you want to increase supply to reduce inflation costs. And by doing that, you're accelerating the inflation process. So you can, again, you get to it's conspiracy theory that it's all planned. You have a deep state, bad government, bad people trying to create distress and problems around the world so they can gain more control. I mean, I don't know where you go with the story, because it doesn't make any economic sense. It doesn't make any sense in terms of managing your populace or doing your job as a government representative. So it's crazy. But all I can say is the charts for the agricultural commodities look good. And, you know, we do feel that owning some of those ETFs for agriculture continues to make sense. And whether it's related to this story or geocosmic effects, I mean, we talked off air about the possibility of, you know, having more colder weather and a change in solar activity here in the next couple, 3 years, solar minimum and so forth, where, you know, whether a volcano goes off or not, there could be restriction of food supply for other reasons unrelated to the government action. So maybe it's all tied together. So anyway, being long the agriculturals, I think, makes sense.
Yeah, now, one of the reasons why I discount a lot of conspiracy theories is our politicians can't even deal with snow removal or getting our healthcare system back on its feet. How can they be doing a worldwide conspiracy when they can't even look after local issues?
Right, so maybe they're not smart enough to do it.
Right? I don't think so.
But in any event, we deal with it. And, you know, looking at the markets, you know, I mean, I've been doing this for a long time. You can say, oh, gee, you can't make any money, whatever. But you just look at the charts and, you know, you'll see a natural gas top out. You can get short that if you want, or you can wait till it bottoms, or you can look at your agricultural charts, see them going up, or see gold and silver starting to generate some interest. And just looking at the overall market, you know, you just, you know, get short the market via an inverse ETF and just sit back and wait for the market to decide it wants to go back up again. So there's always stuff. You know, again, this gets down to making money and capitalism and not human suffering and benefits and stuff like that. But in terms of, you know, trying to keep up with things and, you know, pay your bills and make some money, it's unbelievable how these various swings and political moves or geocosmic moves create, patterns on the charts, which, you know, as most technicians will tell you, is not that difficult to, implement. You know, you might not have it on the exact day, but catching some of these trends is not rocket science, you know. So a lot of people make good livings just catching some trends in some areas that, you know, make sense. And whether it's to the benefit of others or to the suffering of others, unfortunately, we can't control that. I always joked about what I do with my life if, you know, the stock market went sideways or, you know, stopped trading or, you know, it just stopped existing or whatever, you know, for whatever reason. And that's been as far from the truth as I can state. I mean, for all these years, there's always something, you know, there's always a bull market somewhere, a bear market somewhere. There's always opportunities, whether you're looking at a day or two play or a multi-week or multi-month play. So right now, again, I'm going back to the top of the interview. I mean, if you get 4, 5, 6% risk-free in the market, and it's not clear where we're headed, folks, you know, why not do that? That's sort of where I'm at in terms of the big picture comments for this year. But at BR Trader, we're going to be doing a lot of other stuff, you know, besides that, of course. But, you know, the market is tenuous. Overall, I still believe in a downtrend. But the government wants to pay you 5% guaranteed. Why not take it?
We'll have more with Mark Leibovitz right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Mark, what's your outlook for the U.S. dollar?
It's still down, and unfortunately, it was up a little bit the last day or so. It's on a bounce here a little bit, but it still seems to be down, and the more it goes down, it's incentive for more inflation. I mean, basically, things go up in price when that happens, when the U.S. dollar continues to deteriorate. So I think inflation is far from being cured, and we'd have to see a big reversal in the dollar. So, you know, basically, prices are going up, and I think that's a function of the U.S. dollar being weak. So let's see if that's going to suddenly change direction. I don't think so. And unfortunately, I don't know where this is all going to head in terms of the Federal Reserve and who's going to learn to control themselves on the spending side. It's a wild scenario. I mean, you know, we all like to see the dollar, you know, take off, and that would change things a bit, but I don't think that's happening. So I'm still bearish on the dollar until it proves otherwise. It's way down there. It looked like it was bottoming a few weeks ago, and it just went back to new relative lows again. So that should be good for commodities. So this is part of the inflation story, precious metals, you know, including the agriculturals that I mentioned a few moments ago. So that's the play, you know. You might want to consider the Canadian dollar, because, you know, that sort of goes in inverse, and that, you know, if since they're a resource, it is a resource country and currency, that might be a good hedge. So putting that in the, if you want to own some Canadian dollars, that might not be a bad play.
Well, I have no choice living in Canada. That's what I get paid in.
Well, we have a lot of Canadians that trade in U.S. dollars and go back and forth. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, I would think that the Canadian dollar would improve during the course of this year. And I think that it would be a bit of a hedge against the U.S. dollar going down if you're in that trading mode of doing it. But you can also buy an ETF for the Canadian dollar, ticker symbol FXC, on the U.S. markets, and that would be, you know, a way of playing it without actually going out and converting currency and doing like that.
Tesla shares down a tremendous amount last year. Will Tesla survive?
Oh my goodness, that's you know, it's hard for me to believe it wouldn't at the moment. You know, you don't know how far the sell-off's going to go. I mean, I think it's cheap as heck, but I'm a big believer in Elon Musk. And, you know, one day you may wake up in the morning and suddenly he's got some new technology that he plugged in there and the stock is up 200 points, or maybe SpaceX gets merged into, Tesla. I mean, in the past he had SolarCity merged in the solar company, a few years ago. I mean, you know, talk about pulling rabbits out of the hat. I mean, you know, despite people are criticizing his move on Twitter, which I think was brilliant, unfortunately he suffered financially and politically for doing that. It was probably one of the best things that could happen to the West in terms of opening up the truth and exposing the media, exposing politicians, and maybe getting our act in order in terms of telling the truth. So it's cost him financially for Twitter. But maybe not, you know, maybe he'll turn Twitter around and it'll start making money and he'll take it public again at some higher price and end up having the last laugh. We'll find out in time. But as far as Tesla itself, the man is an innovator, and yes, you know, you don't want to catch a falling knife, you know, you don't know where the low is on the darn thing, but, you know, trading around $100 a share when it was you know, over $330 or something, you know, a year ago seems to me awfully attractive. But I'm not telling you to go and buy it today or anything. I'm just saying I wouldn't despair yet. I know the competition is out there, but Tesla is still churning out vehicles. They're still selling vehicles. Everyone I know who wants to buy electric vehicle can afford it, but will buy a Tesla before they're going to buy a Ford or another product. So I think he's still got the leading edge in terms of the quality product out there. And that this assumes, of course, he doesn't do something else with the company. So we'll find out. I'm an optimist, but if you're a trader and you're looking at the stock, you would probably need some more confirmation before, you know, jumping whole hog in here.
Mark, thank you so much for chatting with us.
It's been great. Have a great day. Thanks so much.
My guest has been Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He was speaking to us from Arizona. If you have any questions for Mark or any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Find us on Twitter @HowStreet. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.